your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Amen. Thanking God for our being here to Pastor Jackson, and he told the truth. I am pressing to be his friend. But I wouldn't trade him for nothing in the world. And we bless the Lord for him and his commitment to Christ and his kingdom. We thank you for his willingness to serve anywhere he can. I do know some preachers who ain't like that, and some pastors, but we thank you that he is a willing servant. Thankful for the fearless praise for coming with me. A couple of them who have tasted his, Pastor Jackson's roast beef, said if there was no RB, there would be no FB. Pastor Jackson, so good. Thank you for all these preachers. And,
amen.
At least two of them I know. I tried to get them to preach in my stead, and Pastor Jackson said, well, he already got his check. I said, that's why I want them to preach. I thought I'm short in Collins and London didn't get no money, so you know. Grateful for Mrs. Edwards' wife, my wife being here, and you've been seeing all, let's see, one, two, let's see, four. Yeah, so it's nine of them here? Nine grandchildren here? The nine of the 12?
Lord.
And so, bless the Lord. Y'all got about nine of my grandchildren present. And I'm thankful to the Lord for them. Three of the four of my children are here. And we bless the Lord. The fourth one is up in Maryland. And so the baby girl, so that's the twins and them four littlest ones, the one Magi. Miss Edwards is holding, he's the busy one. He tries to keep up with his brothers and his sisters. And so it just tickled me to death to watch an 18-month try to run. Thankful for Mr. Spivey and brother on the guitar and for being here. For all of you, all the members of Mount Zion, we're thankful for you being here. Lest I hold you too long, from the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. The book of Genesis, chapter 3, verses 7 through 10, you will find these words. And the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto them, to Adam, and said, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And they sewed fig leaves together. And made themselves aprons. I want to talk for just a little while. Fig leaves or faith?
Huh. All right.
Fig leaves or faith. On your Family and Friends Day, in a moment, the Pastor Jackson would ask me to come. He's my president, so I couldn't say no if I wanted to. And just an honor to be able to share this day with you. The food was good, too, by the way, Pastor Jackson.
Yes, you said.
Amen. We bless the Lord. Our text this afternoon is in the creation, is an episode in the creation of mankind, which, in my opinion, deals with the decisions we make or the choices we choose and the consequences that follows and how they affect our lives. And so I want us to look at Adam and Eve's choices to see if we can see ourselves. Eleanor Roosevelt said, one's philosophy is not best expressed in words. It is expressed in choices one makes. In the long run, we shape our lives and we shape ourselves. The process never ends until we die. And the choices we make are ultimately our responsibility. And so I want us to think about the choices we have made and their consequences, as well as the ones we will be making. And so this afternoon, I want to talk about fig leaves or faith. Huh. And if you're wondering why, it is because every day of our life, we have to make choices.
Yes.
Amen. And I would hazard to guess that it all boils down to this. Will it be fig leaves or faith? Our text is a part of that pericope, which is an episode in the story of the creation of mankind. Usually when we think of the creation story, it floods our mind with a panorama of beauty. Notice the writer of Genesis did not get bogged down in intellectual pursuits like what came first, the chicken or the egg. Neither did he talk about the Big Bang Theory, nor did the author talk about or discuss the theory of evolution versus creation. He takes it for granted that everything begins with God.
Yeah.
My brothers and sisters, it was God who fashioned the house where mankind was to live. It was God who stepped into the archives of eternity and developed the blueprint for the foundations of the world. It was God who wove the fabric of existence from the thread of nothingness. It was God who made the sun from the brilliance of his glory. It was God who flung the stars against the ebony dome of the evening. It was God who caused the heavens to weep until the seas and the rivers were full. It was God who gave the duck his quack, the dog his whoop, the cow his moo, the cat his meow, and the lion his roar. It was God who took a lump of clay and stamped his image on mankind's brow and put the quest of truth in mankind's heart, a part of divinity into his body, and then breathed into his body the breath of life, and mankind became a living soul. The point I'm trying to make is that everything begins with God. Then God put Adam in charge of the Garden of Eden. And however, on that dreadful day that Adam and Eve made the choice and decided to go independent of the Creator, the scripture says their eyes were open and they knew they were naked. This is when Adam and Eve had a sense of and thus the beginning of human shame. Now the writer is not saying that Adam and Eve were not naked all the time or that eating from the tree took the clothes off their backs. But let me suggest that he is saying it did take the self-respect out of their humanity. Well, all right. And when people lose their self-respect, they start seeing all kinds of things that they never saw before. Their mindset changes. And what you think on the inside will determine what you see on the outside.
Right.
In other words, beauty within will see beauty without. Truth within will see truth without. Integrity within will see purity. We'll see integrity without. Purity within will see purity without. That's why the proverbial writer said, for as a man or woman thinketh in his heart, so is he. But on the other hand, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. When you lose your self-respect, you don't see like you ought to see.
Right.
You see differently. In other words, if you have a gutter in your mind, or if you have an outhouse outlook, then everything you see will be tainted by your own vision of what you think on the inside. If you go looking for it, you will see it. So their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked. Their sense of seeing was different. Notice it does not say their eyes were open and they thought. Or that perhaps they were naked. Or that maybe they were naked. It says their eyes were open and they knew they were naked. Now nothing was wrong with their sight from the start. For when God made their eyes, they had 20/20 perfect vision.
Yes, sir.
They had two good windows to see out of.
Come on now.
But what we see in this story is not the result of bad sight, but really spiritual blight. Not poor perception, but rather that of deception. Not blurred vision. but rather corrupt character.
Huh?
You see, a sinner sees the same thing a believer sees. A sinner sees the same star and splendor that a saint sees. The difference is that a sinner goes around muttering and murmuring in their heart that there is no God. But when a saint sees those silent sentinels sitting against the ebony dome of the heaven, the saint walks away singing, "The heavens declare the glory of the Lord, and the earth shows forth his handiwork." The difference is in the heart. Because when a man or woman is of Christ, they are a new creature. All things pass away, and behold, all things become new. That's why a saint sees differently. When your heart comes in contact with the Creator, you will see what an unsaved sinner's eyes cannot see. Eyes can only see what your soul conditions them to see. That's why John writes, "Except a man or woman is born again, they cannot see the kingdom of God." In order to see the kingdom or the work of the kingdom, you got to be born again. You see, my brothers and sisters, that's what is wrong with the church today. We see what we see as influenced by our own experiences or what we have learned. Our sense of seeing has been tainted. And unless you're in the book of books, you cannot see what someone else sees unless you are in the Word of God. So when when people say, "Pastor, I don't see that," I now understand why.
Right.
Because you know what they say? That's because you ain't in Bible study. You don't go to Sunday school. And above all, you're not in the book. My point is this: a saint ought to see differently. A saint ought to walk by faith and not by sight. And when a sinner looks, their eyes may see hopelessness, but a saint sees hope. A sinner says it will never work, but a saint will say all things, not some things, but all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. Well, what did Adam and Eve see? They had a sense that their situation was not the same.
Right.
There was something different. Their relationship was not like it used to be with the Lord. Remember, they're standing in the presence of God with their heads hanging down in humiliation. Their cheeks are blushed with shame because they're naked. In other words, their clothes of self-respect were gone. Their garments of innocence were gone. Their robes of respect are gone. Their apparel of dignity are gone. Their garments of glory are gone. And my brothers and sisters, sin always leaves us standing naked within. And if you mess around with it long enough, it'll leave you naked without. Just ask some alcoholics, some drug addicts, some gamblers, some drug dealers who have lost everything because of sin. Sin leaves you vulnerable. The text says, and they knew their eyes were open, and they knew their eyes were open, and they knew they were naked. Now, no normal person can avoid the sense of embarrassment at being caught nude. When you are naked, people see you like you don't really want them to.
Oh my God.
They see your beauty and your ugliness. They see your pride as well as your shame. They see your strength as well as your weakness. When you are naked, the world doesn't need a resume to know who you are or what you really look like. For once you reveal the BAR bare facts, everybody knows what you look like. They've seen what you really look like when nothing can hold it in, but everything is hanging out.
All right.
I know some of you are wondering, well, preacher, why are you talking about nakedness? Well, I'm glad you asked. All of us have read this story for years, and I'm like you, I could never see a message in nakedness until some years ago. You see, many of us think of Adam and Eve as characters in an X-rated pornographic movie. and we read their story as if we are innocent bystanders. But to be honest, for real, we can't read this story and act as if we have not done anything wrong. Because when you think about it, their nakedness is our nakedness. Their sin is our sin. Their shame is our shame. Their bare facts are our bare facts. So before we criticize Adam and Eve, remember that we too have also sinned and will sin. Help me, Holy Ghost. Remember, Paul didn't say y'all have sinned. He said all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So all of us are in the boat together, because all of us are sinners. The Bible says, and they knew they were naked. But now nakedness is not a question of clothing.
Well,
it's a condition.
All right.
And a whole lot of folks have wardrobes of clothing full of the latest fashion. Giorgio, Calvin Klein, Donatelli, Versace, Ralph Lauren, Yves Saint Laurent, Pierre Cardin, Hart Schaffner, and Mark Christian Dior. All of them crowd our closet. But spiritually, we're just as naked as Jaybird. Because all of us have those moments of revelation when our eyes are open.
All right.
And we see ourselves as we really are.
Yeah. Right.
You see, some of us think and act like we're above everything. But all of us have our moments.
Yeah.
When the skeletons of the past come creeping out of the closet, reminding and stripping away our false pride, as if we are innocent bystanders, or as if we have not done anything wrong. We have those moments when we don't reap the harvest of wrong deeds sown in the days gone by, or when yesterday's sins come by and strip us and leave us naked in the morning sun. The Bible says, and they knew. They were naked. And their eyes were open. Well, what do people do when they're caught naked? I'm glad you asked. Well, you have the same choices that Adam and Eve had. They had a sense to find a substitute. What did they do? Well, they hid themselves. And they sewed fig leaves together. And made themselves aprons.
All right.
My brothers and sisters, when you give up your clothes from heaven, you got to replace them with some man-made clothes. And it's not hard to relate to this today. When I look around, I don't believe fig leaves ever go out of style. I think about the lies that preachers tell. When they're at convention bragging about how many members they got on their church roll.
Right.
And they tell them lies to make themselves feel good.
All right.
To make themselves look important.
Yeah.
I think about the excuses we use to justify the wrong what we do.
Right.
He provoked me. She made me mad.
Yeah.
God ain't gonna ask you about your alibi.
Yeah.
He wants to know, did you say forgive me?
Yeah.
Did you pray for forgiveness?
Yeah.
Did you ask and forgive your neighbor?
Yeah.
We tell up lies and they're nothing more than fig leaves. Some of us have masquerades we use to hide the pain on the inside.
Yeah.
We try to drown our troubles. We think a little hypnotic. We think a little J and B, red label and black label, will fix whatever is wrong with us. But I stop by to tell you that your troubles have learned how to swim. They can tread alcohol now. Can I get a witness? They're nothing but a fig leaf. When you gotta lie about who you are and what you got, it's no more than a fig leaf. Well, preacher, what are fig leaves?
Well,
they are substitutes for what Adam and Eve lost when they sinned. You see, fig leaves will represent a partial covering. It is an inadequate effort at being acceptable. It is a futile attempt at shamefaced modesty. And don't you know people are still assembling artificial aprons today to avoid dealing with raw reality? Listen, we try to conceal the naked truth behind phony facades. Nothing but a fig leaf. Fig leaves so much so that wrong is all right. What used to be racism is now called conservatism. It's all right now. What used to be adultery is now called open marriage. Can I get a witness? The lies that government calls now misinformation. It's nothing more than a fig leaf. And a fig leaf is a substitute. And it represents partial covering. Matter of fact, everywhere I look, this fig leaf factor comes into focus. When you have to have some European designer name on your clothes to feel good about yourself, it's nothing more than a fig leaf. Can I get a witness? When you gotta put emphasis on what you are driving rather than what is driving you, it's nothing more than a fig leaf. When you believe the only businesses that will thrive in the black community, liquor stores, bar rooms, and nip joint, and open air drug market is nothing more than a fig leaf fashion show. When you walk by sight and not by faith, it's a fig leaf. Similar thing, if you don't have, see it, it's not going to happen. But faith says, even if you don't, if you cannot see it, God can make it happen. Even if it's 20 years later. And don't you know the fig leaf is in vogue at the local church? When you look at most of our morning bulletins, there's a fig leaf in the middle of the bulletin. It says tithe and offer. The truth is, most of us have never given an offering. For you can't give an offering until you first pay your tithe. Because the Bible says bring your tithe and your offering. You can't give an offering until you first pay your tithe. At best, we take up a collection. And it might be forgivable if we couldn't do any better. But when cigarettes go up in price, people don't complain about that. When the gas goes up, you don't stop driving or complain about it. Can I get a witness? But don't you know things in the church increase in price too?
Right.
And you keep making excuses. But when you get out of your $10,000 bedroom suit, put on your $300 suit, leave your $100,000 plus house, climb into your $15,000, $20,000 car, drive across a $150 million highway, and then come into a $500,000 bill and put $3 in an offer, it's no more than a fig leaf. Well, when Adam and Eve knew, they sold fig leaves together to hide their nakedness. But the problem with fig leaves is that they're a sorry source of protection. They're made from a flimsy fabric. And they don't cover your whole body. They leave your extremities at the mercy of the elements. Can I get a witness? If it's cold, you'll freeze to death. The air will find its way through the fig leaves. Because there's nothing there to protect you. Adam and Eve could not rely on fig leaves. And neither can we.
Right.
Fig leaves are not dependable. Fig leaves are not stable. And fig leaves can do nothing about our sin. Not only are fig leaves inadequate, but hiding will not help you either. The Bible says, and they hid themselves. And I know many of us try to hide things today. Some of us hide when something is wrong. When we have problems, we hide ourselves. Some of us hide behind eating. Some of us hide by avoiding certain folks. Some of us hide because we got an itch we cannot scratch. But I just want you to know that when you don't deal with it, when when you don't face your situation, it will show up somewhere. But I wanted to tell you that you may hide it from me, but you can't hide it from God. No matter where you go, God is already there. And you can't hide from God. So what do you do, preacher? Well, I'm glad y'all asking the right question this afternoon. Let me tell you, first of all, running from God will not help you. No, hiding from the Lord will not rescue you. No, how about sowing fig leaves together? Well, they won't help you either. What choice will you make? Will it be fig leaves or will it be faith? Because your ways will not work. And so you got to find help from the one who made you. We have to choose between the fig leaves or faith. But as we stand between today and yesterday's sin and tomorrow's uncertainty, we need to decide whether it will be fig leaves or will it be faith. You see, fig leaves are good only during fair days. But faith will fix you during fair or foul days. Fig leaves will make you get in a hurry. But faith says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk and not faint. Fig leaves will fill you with fear, but faith will make you fear less. Fig leaves will make you run and hide, but faith says you can face all of your faults. Fig leaves says one thing, but faith says don't walk by sight, but walk by faith. Fig leaves will say might or maybe, but faith says you shall be victorious. Fig leaves will say you will give up, but faith says you can endure all your trials. Fig leaves says you can't handle your burden, that they're unbearable, but faith says you can bear all of them. Fig leaves says give in to the devil, but faith says tell the devil to get thee behind me. Fig leaves will make you doubt, but faith will destroy all of your doubt. Fig leaves will say surrender to your circumstances, but faith says you can conquer all conditions. Fig leaves will dry up and wither. Fig leaves will fall off the limbs of a tree. Fig leaves will change colors with the season. But faith says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Fig leaves will leave you hopeless and helpless. But faith says all things will work together for good to them that love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. That's why the way Adam fell, the Bible says they hid themselves around some trees. They ran away from God when they should have ran to God. When you transgress against God, judgment is waiting in the wind. And so God made them some skins to cover their physical nakedness. But nothing was done about their spiritual nakedness. But I heard an old preacher say that God convened a meeting at the Garden of Eden. The old preacher said pity, mercy, justice, and faith were all there. Said God took the floor and said, my children have gone wrong, but they're still my children, and I need to do something. Pity said, what do you have in mind? God said, I got a wardrobe in heaven, and it's called the armor of God. But justice stood up with an objection and said, wait a minute, God. You can't give that armor away. It got a price tag attached to it. It's got to be paid for. God said, I can't pay you right now, but I'll sign an IOU, and I'll settle my account later. Well, centuries later, the same council convened a meeting, but this time there was that go-go.
Golgotha, better known as Calvary's Mountain. The minutes were read from the last meeting. Justice took the floor and said, I want vengeance. I want blood. Hope said, I hope he'll show up. Faith took the floor and said, look in the distance. I believe he's coming. He's treading the winepress alone, but he is coming. He got pain on his face, but he is coming. He got tears in his eyes, but he is coming. He got a whips on his back, but he is coming. He got a cross on his shoulder, but he is coming. He got the weight of the world on his shoulder, but he is coming.